Jerry Bader Show, 1046. And we have a caller who we'll get to in just a minute on Crimea, but I do want to share Mitt Romney. If anyone had an opportunity to say, I told you so, it would be him. Mocked, ridiculed by the president on Russia in the 2012 debate on foreign policy. He now has a piece in today's Wall Street Journal. Romney, the price of failed leadership. Mitt Romney, today's Wall Street Journal. Why are there no good choices? From Crimea to North Korea, from Syria to Egypt, and from Iraq to Afghanistan, America apparently has no good options. If possession is 9/10 of the law, Russia owns Crimea, and all we can do is sanction and disinvite and wring our hands. Iran is following North Korea's nuclear path, but it seems that we can only entreat Iran to sign the same kind of agreement North Korea once signed, undoubtedly with the same result. Our tough talk about a red line in Syria prompted Vladimir Putin's sleight of hand, leaving the chemicals and killings much as they were. We say Bashar Assad must go, but aligning with his Al-Qaeda-backed opposition is an unacceptable option. And how can it be that Iraq and Afghanistan each refused to sign the Status of Forces Agreement with us, with the very nation that shed the blood of thousands of our bravest for them? Why, across the world, are America's hands so tied? A large part of the answer is our leaders' terrible timing. In virtually every foreign affairs crisis we have faced these past 5 years, there was a point when America had good choices and good options. There was a juncture when America had the potential to influence events, but we failed to act at the proprietous point. That moment having passed, we were left without acceptable options. In foreign affairs, as in life, there is, as Shakespeare had it, a tide in the affairs of men which, taken at the flood, leads on to fortune. Omitted, all the voyage of their life is bound in shallows and in miseries. When protests in Ukraine grew and violence ensued, it was surely evident to people in the intelligence community and to the White House, now we're talking back in November, I think Mitt Romney is, that President Putin might try to take advantage of the situation to capture Crimea or more. That was the time to talk with our global allies about punishments and sanctions to secure their solidarity and to communicate these to the Russian president. These steps, plus assurances that we would not exclude Russia from its bases in Sevastopol or threaten to influence it in Kiev, might have dissuaded him from invasion. In other words, the things that we could have telegraphed but didn't. Months before the rebellion began in Syria in 2011, a foreign leader I met with predicted that Assad would soon fall from power. Surely the White House saw what this observer saw. As the rebellion erupted, time was ripe to bring tougher moderate leaders who would have been easy enough for us to identify to assure the Alawites that they would have a future post-Assad and to see the rebels were well-armed. The advent of the Arab Spring may or may not have been foreseen by our intelligence community, but after Tunisia, it was predictable that Egypt might also become engulfed. At that point, pushing our friend Hosni Mubarak to take rapid and bold steps toward reform, as did Jordan's king, might well have saved lives and preserved the U.S.-Egypt alliance. The time for securing the State of Forces signatures from leaders in Iraq and Afghanistan was before we announced in 2011 our troop withdrawal timeline, not after. In negotiations, you get something when the person across the table wants something from you, not after you have already given it away. Able leaders anticipate events, prepare for them, and act in time to shape them. My career in business and politics has exposed me to scores of people in leadership positions, only a few of whom actually have these qualities. Some simply cannot envision the future and are this unpleasantly surprised and thus unpleasantly surprised when it comes, when it arrives. Some simply hope for the best. Others succumb to analysis paralysis, weighing trends and forecasts and choices beyond the time of opportunity. President Obama and Secretary of State Clinton traveled the world in pursuit of their promise to resist relations and to build friendships across the globe. Their failure has been painfully evident. It is hard to name even a single country that has more respect and admiration for America today than when President Obama took office, and now Russia is in Ukraine. Part of their failure, I submit, is due to their failure to act when action was possible and needed. A chastened president and Secretary of State Kerry, a year into his job, can yet succeed and for the country's sake must succeed. Timing is of the essence. Mitt Romney, today's Wall Street Journal. This is the whole lead from behind thing. Leaders do anticipate problems. And Romney's right. Not all leaders are great at it. I'm better at it than some, not as good as others. President Obama is horrible at it because he doesn't want to lead. He doesn't want America to be the global leader. He doesn't want to see two steps down the road. That's what chess is about, seeing two or three plays down the road. The president doesn't want, he's not in the game. He doesn't want to anticipate what this will result in. Okay, when the first uprising started in November in Ukraine, we should have been on alert. But when you don't want to, quote unquote, see things through a Cold War construct or Cold War prism, and you mock someone for taking Russia seriously, don't be surprised that he doesn't take him seriously. And Vladimir Putin said something that should scare the crap out of you yesterday. He said, well, I don't want anything else. Who else said that? Who was that? And if you think it's just us saying these sanctions are a joke, that's why I did the radio Jeopardy on the stock market, the Russian stock market. Up 3.7%. They know they dodged a bullet. Saeed in Green Bay, thanks a lot for waiting. Go ahead.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. And the only thing I would add to what you read from Romney is that in 2009, in the opening year of Obama's administration, world events gave America and the world a unique opportunity. 3 million Iranians came in the streets, freedom-loving Iranians, to try to displace the most virulent anti-American, anti-Western regime in the world. And Obama sent an emissary to the Iranian Ayatollahs telling them he did not intend to interfere in the internal affairs of Iran, which gave them the free the green light to mow down those freedom-loving demonstrators. And a historic opportunity was lost. But the reason I called, Jay, I wanted to share a little bit of history of a time that America was strong, and that is in the aftermath of the Second World War.
Yep.
Iran was occupied at that point by the Allies as a means of transporting military goods to the beleaguered Leningrad. And the agreement was that after the war was over, all involved parties would leave. Well, the British and the American left, but the Soviets tried to annex northern Iran. At that point, Truman gave an ultimatum to the Russians. And in those days, American ultimatums meant something. And the communication of that ultimatum alone was enough for the Soviets to abandon their plans and leave. And the Iranians then took matters in their own hands and dealt with the Soviet collaborators in northern Iran, and the territorial integrity of Iran was preserved. So that bit of history is really important for people to understand that there was a time that America was strong, and also how America has used its influence throughout history to stand out for liberty and territorial integrity of others.
Saeed, that influence has never been at a lower level than it is right now.
Russian chess player, I think his name is Kasparov, who ran against Putin, he said that Obama makes Jimmy Carter look like a hawk.
Which is absolutely frightening. And by the way, I have been, thanks Saeed for the great call, I have been critical of George W. Bush and the Georgian invasion of 2008. Putin attacked then because he saw Bush was weak. And when I mean weak, in a weak position. Peggy Noonan pointed this out, I think, in this Saturday's Wall Street Journal. He was damaged by the economy and other factors at home, and Putin knew that. To take Putin at his word that he's done, I think, is laughable. Especially when he has seen what he has met so far as a result to what he has done already. Walt in Antigo. Walt, hi, you're on the Jerry Bader Show.
Hi, Jerry. How are you?
Good.
Can you hear me okay?
Yep, go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I've been to Ukraine many times. I speak Ukrainian and I read it. And this actually was planned 7 years ago. When George Bush was president, Putin put Yanukovych up as president of Ukraine, and in a fraudulent election, he won. Bush, Tony Blair, and the Ukrainian people went to the World Court and the Ukrainian Supreme Court. That was overturned, and Yanukovych was thrown out. An interesting footnote on Yanukovych is that he served time in prison for rape and murder, assault and battery, and burglary and fraud. And this is Putin's guy. He financially raped Ukrainians to the point where they finally had to oust him, and that's what brought this to an immediate head. The basic problem here is that, as the gentleman before me was saying, we've left a huge vacuum in this world.
Yep.
We have a feckless, incompetent president. Even his domestic policies, which he's trying to jam down our throats, are failures. But the failure in foreign relations is astounding. It's truly a horrendous thing. And, you know, I want to say this to all of the Obama voters in the audience. Those of you that thought that you were voting for a peacenik that would keep your children out of war, you have actually voted to have them back in the military service. And somewhere down the road, we're going to have to fight a war, whether it's another Muslim war, and a big one, or a war with Russia, a war, an economic war with them, or with China. You folks have done it.
Well, thanks a lot for the call. I do need to let you run. I'm just about out of time, but I really do appreciate the call. An absence of war is not necessarily peace. And that's really what Walt was saying there. We are in such a position of weakness on the global stage right now. President Obama, and you saw this in Chuck Hagel talking about the future of the Defense Department, that we don't need to think about geopolitical wars. Now, the one thing I have applauded President Obama on and how aggressive he was in the war on terror, particularly with the drone strikes, but to the exclusion of everything else. He's so sure Iraq was the wrong war, he was convinced he was never going to fight another geopolitical war or that America wasn't. What a terrible mistake. We are in such a position of weakness right now. And again, you can go ahead and say that's false, but what the Russian stock markets did yesterday should tell you exactly what they think about the threat. And the hero welcome that Putin got. All right, I didn't get at all to something I teased concerning the Republican leadership in the state legislature. I will do that in the after show video, and we really do need to talk about that tomorrow. I still haven't gotten to one I teased yesterday. Why doesn't conservative humor work? But we will get to that one of these days. I'm not here tomorrow. You're right. Well, then I'm going to do it in the after show video. Maybe we'll do it on Monday. Glad somebody's thinking. It's 10:58. Have a lovely one, won't you?
The Jerry Bader Show.